Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Good morning, guests, Streams Church, those that are online. This morning, we're going to talk about peace. My scripture this morning, if you want to do slide one of three, this is called The Promise of Peace. And this is something I just want to share with you, and I want to begin with a moment of prayer, but I want to share with you probably out of my own personal experience more than I realize. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord God, we just ask right now that you would capture our attention. God, that you would capture our thoughts and our hearts, God, that you would speak to us. Lord, more than anything else in this world at this time, it truly does look like we need your peace. God, we ask that in Jesus' name, you would just fill us. Fill us with your revelation. Fill us with your love, God. Fill us with your understanding, that we might see where we are and who we are in Christ today. And I ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. The promise of peace. The scripture says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. If you were the disciples, this would be a pretty good thing to say. If you look at Bethlehem, though, I want to just bring you back to the point where Mary's about to get on a burrow and go about 90 miles, and she's pregnant. Now, I've never been pregnant. I don't know what that's like, but it doesn't sound like riding on a burrow for 90 miles is something I'd want to do. And I'm thinking, this is not peace. This is probably a struggle, right? And she's bringing in the Prince of Peace through a struggle. That was a keynote, just so you know. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, or I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. So do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. A couple of points I want to get your attention on. Number one, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Right? Now, we may have read this over and over again in our Christian experience or whatever, but right now especially, I would like you to think about, it's not the world's peace that he's giving. It's his peace.
Yes.
And if we don't know what his peace was, then we don't know what to look for.
Right.
We don't know what to apply in our lives, and we don't really understand maybe sometimes why things are going in our lives the way they're going.
Yes.
If everybody were willing, I would ask in the crowd, well, how many of you are truly experiencing the peace of God in your life? Don't raise your hands. And I'm going to add something in every area of your life. Yep, I don't see any hands. Maybe the little one that's doing the crying thing in the background is the only one that can truly say, I have peace totally, because I'm totally taken care of. My peace I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Those are two indicators that we don't have the peace of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the path of peace, and I want to talk about the peace of Jesus. If you were in your Bibles and you wanted to follow me along, I'm not sure. There it is. My slide guy is right on it this morning. John the Baptist is born. Zechariah, his father, prophet, prophesies over his life. And in this verse, he says this. He says, John has come, and he's going to bring good news. He's, verse 79, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's a path. There's a way of peace. This world is looking for all kinds of things. When I was setting this up in my studies, I was thinking, the world looks for peace in all kinds of places, all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that I would like to point out. Number one, the path of peace. The Bible talks about what the path of peace is. In Psalms 34, exactly, he comes out and he just says, look, if you want to live in peace, do these things. So I encourage you, look at Psalms 34. I'll just share it with you a little bit. The King David is saying, how many of you want to live a long and fruitful and happy life? And everybody should raise their hand, right? And King David then says in verse 11, I believe it starts in Psalms 34, then do these things. Now, I'm not going to tell you what these things are. I'm going to encourage you when you go home today, look at Psalms 34, okay? Look from verse 11 on down. But he ends it up with this. Seek peace.
Yes.
And pursue it.
Yes.
What a statement. Seek peace and pursue it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he has a path for us to walk in. If you would, if you're in your Bible, I'm going to have you turn to 2 Corinthians 5. And if you're not in your Bible, that's okay. Maybe I'll put it up. Did I have it up there? Yes. You may wonder why I do that. The answer is because when I did my notes, that was yesterday, and a lot of time has gone by. You guys ever have that problem where 5 minutes goes by and you go, what was I doing? Okay. My birthdays don't start with 6 anymore, so I'm finding that this is a pretty interesting time in life. You go into the bathroom and you say, what did I come in here for? Oh, yeah, that's right, the toothbrush. That's why it's sitting out on the counter. Or you have, by the way, my wife, Cookie, is doing Sunday school this morning. She normally sits here and gives me cues. And some of them are like, no. So it's important that you know that, because if I look over and you think I'm looking at somebody who's not there, I'm actually looking for my support team. So, Sean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So Jesus came to bring us peace. I want to talk about the process of peace. This is probably the important part to me. Have you ever felt like when Jesus said, hey, I give you something, and then you look around in your life and you wonder, did I actually get it? I give you peace, and you look around in your life and you say to yourself, did I really actually get peace? Sometimes we wonder, did God really give it to me? And I want to point us to maybe we just didn't understand it right. Because when God says he's going to do something, he does it.
Yes.
So probably it's not him, it's us.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, well then this is one of those things. I want to talk about the process of peace. And before I do that, I want to relate a little story to you. In Acts chapter 7, get my notes right, verse 26, Stephen is giving his sermon. He's about to get killed. Most of you know the story, I hope, where he's processing this story of history, and he comes to this place where he's talking about Moses, and you all remember who Moshe is, right? Moses. I'm going to get to John or Acts chapter 7 for you, and I'm going to read it. In verse 26, he says, so this is about Moses, and Moses, he says he was, and when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, and we're talking about the two Hebrew fellows that were slaves, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. So Moses kills this Egyptian guy because he's oppressing two of his Hebrew brothers. And then he says this, and he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. But they did not understand. That's a human problem, guys. We don't always understand, right? He goes on to this verse, and on the following day, he appeared to them, that's the two Hebrew slaves, as they were fighting together. Sounds like life, right? They're fighting to, I almost said the body of Christ, but I just wanted to be kind at that moment. Because actually, sometimes we're our own worst enemies. I'm just saying. Sometimes we have expectations, or sometimes we have hopes and things that we would like to see, and then we get frustrated by them when we don't see them, or we have expectations. I've been married going on 52 years. And I can tell you, I'm still learning when to keep this closed and these open. Somebody shake your head, give me an amen. You know what I mean, right? Because sometimes I just don't understand. And then he goes on and says this: they were fighting together and he tried to reconcile them in peace. Did you hear that? Moses tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you injure one another?" Well, in my studies of this, let me just share this with you. This place right here is the only time in the entire New Testament that the word reconcile is this particular Greek word. And what it means is, he came to them and he tried to get them to agree. He tried to strike a bargain. And what was the result of trying to strike a bargain? Well, it wasn't peace. There's another Greek word that is used for the word reconcile, and it's used for about 5 or 6 times in the Bible. It's always used when we reconcile men unto God. This one is trying to reconcile man unto man. Okay, so here's my little backstory. Moses, in this verse, is saying he's trying to be a peacekeeper. He's trying to keep the peace between his brothers, and they don't understand. They're in strife. And the bargain doesn't work. Folks, I'm trying to tell you that the peace of Jesus is not a bargain. We don't bargain with God for his peace. His peace he gives us, but it comes through a process, and the process is called reconciliation.
Yes.
Every human being on the planet, the process is the same. He's given us, who understand and who've come to Christ, a ministry. You all have a ministry. And the ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile men unto God.
Yes.
Now let me clarify something. It's not to reconcile God unto men.
Yes.
It's men unto God.
Yeah, that's good.
That's so important. It's so important that you understand it's also not a bargain. When you share your testimony or your faith with someone, it's not a bargain. What I guess I would like to say is, it's not a trade-off. It's not God's going to make you your old self better. You become a new creation.
Yes.
It's not your old self being made better. It's you being a new self and him working you through that process. You become a new person. And you do it through the process of reconciliation. So he goes on and says this, why do you injure one another? And if you've ever been in a relationship where you're trying to keep the peace, it's a struggle, right? The Bible doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. It says blessed are the peace makers. So how do you make peace? Well, it's right here. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19 says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Oh boy. You want peace in a relationship? There it is. Not counting their trespasses against them. That's quiet in here, isn't it? The process of peace is this. When you're in a struggle and there's no peace in your life, you go to Him and you reconcile what's wrong. Here's what most people do in a relationship. I want my way, you want your way, we can't seem to get it together, right? Here's what God wants. Come to Him and ask Him, what do you want? Let me reconcile with you this issue. Maybe it's me, maybe it's not. But here, when the reconciliation is complete, then you're at peace with God. When the other person does the same, and they're at peace with God, guess what you two get?
Peace.
You get peace.
Yes.
But you get the peace that passes understanding. Because it's not peace based on what you want. It's peace based on what He wants.
That's good. Amen.
That's reconciliation at work in our lives.
Yeah.
This is a season where we have to stop and realize Jesus was born and died to reconcile us. That's not a bargain. If I were God, I'm just going to be frank, He didn't get a bargain. He's so much more glorious than any of us.
Yeah.
He didn't get the bargain. He did get what He wanted. Don't get me wrong. But look, you ever look in the mirror? You look in the mirror and you go, you wanted me? I still can't get my head around the fact that He chose you. You didn't choose Him. Think about that. Sometimes we think, well, I chose to walk with God. Actually, if He didn't call you, you weren't going there. Wow, okay. Verse 20 of this same chapter says, oh, by the way, let me finish verse 19. It says that you're not to count their trespasses against them. And He has committed to you, us, every one of us, the word or the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Guys, the peace of Jesus that He's trying to give us is His peace, and He's trying to teach us how to tell other people how to have it. That's His peace. He did not have broken fellowship with His Father.
Amen.
Ever.
Yeah.
Broken fellowship is the result of sin. That didn't exist. He's got unbroken fellowship. He's got total peace. We don't have that. He's trying to reconcile that. He's trying to get us to have unbroken fellowship so we can have peace that passes understanding. Do you ever get the scripture that you might know? That you might know something that passes your understanding? That's always caught my attention. All right. We're going to go to Psalm 34, and I am actually going to read this to you a little bit. I want to thank you for your patience and your attention, because I realize some of this is more like just me giving you some kind of instruction. But you know what? This is good instruction.
Yes, it is.
And I'll tell you why. Whenever it's this quiet, I know you're listening and thinking. Okay? Maybe even hearing something in your own life where God says, hey, you know, you could reconcile with this person. 5 years into my salvation experience, I was at a prayer meeting, a pre-service prayer meeting, in a big prayer room in a church of about 3,000 folks. And I walked into the prayer room and I heard a voice. And I turned to see who was speaking to me, and there was nobody there. But I heard very clearly this: Paul, it's been 5 years. You have not once prayed for your father's salvation. Wow. The depth of reconciliation in that relationship had never entered my mind. We did not have a relationship, my father and I. I know that might sound odd. We knew each other, but we didn't really know each other. Does that make sense? I mean, I knew he was my dad, but there was nothing in relational connection between he and I, okay? I can actually tell you the day that it was broken, which is really strange to think as a four-year-old you would know that. But I can actually tell you the day, the moment, and the event that the relationship was broken. And the Lord said to me, it's been 5 years now, and what he really was saying was, I've been patient with you, let's get on to it, right? And I said, okay, what do you want me to do? And this is what I heard, forgive him. I will not tell you what I said back. But it was a negative. Let's just go there. Sometimes, you know, when you're young in the Lord, and I'm going to call 5 years in the Lord still fairly young, you say things that you kind of regret. Right? That was one of my moments. But it was negative, and I said, I don't know if I can do that. And the Lord said, you can't without me. And I went, okay, well, this much I know, I've learned in 5 years, that when you're with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. This much I know. So we went into the prayer room, and I knelt down, and I could not even focus, because everything that was broken in that relationship was in the forefront of my mind. It was like, you know, the scripture says the heavens were brass. No, these were concrete. I was in some kind of bunker, bomb, shell thing or whatever, but nothing was getting through. And I finally just turned around and sat down and said, Jesus, I have no idea what to do here. And here comes this brother. Comes down, plops down next to me, puts his arm around me and says, how can we pray? And I went, this might be a heaven sent. And I said, well, I don't know. I'm struggling with forgiving someone. He says, well, let's just ask the Lord to help us. So we did. And 6 hours later, I began to cry. And I'm being honest with you, 6 hours later, we missed church that night. But we stayed in the prayer room because God was doing something. Reconciliation in that relationship was so important to him that I could not move on to the next step of my relationship with Jesus without getting this thing done. And the moment I said, all right, I forgive him. Then the Lord pointed out to me, do you remember the beam and the speck? Just because you forgave him, Paul, doesn't clean all the stuff out of your eye. Right? It's just part of the reconciliation process. Have you ever looked at somebody and you know exactly what's wrong with them? Right? You know it. You can see it. And the Lord says, yeah, but go look in the mirror real quick before you say anything, right? Because it comes across, without reconciliation, it won't bring peace. All right. We're a couple minutes away, guys. Blessed are the peacemakers. How do you make peace? This is the lesson that I've learned in my life, that when I have an issue with someone, I don't want to respond quickly. I want to go and find out why there is an issue. I want to go and say, God, have I done something? Is there something in me? And by the way, there's lots in me. That's why I don't know who invented mirrors, but shame on them. But if there's something in me that isn't reconciled with you, how can I expect it to be reconciled with them? So show me what it is you, Father, want of me. I already know what I want of them, and that's causing the problem. You guys tracking with us? Most of our disagreements in life, most of our issues in life are what we call selfishness. It's, I want my way, you want your way. I didn't mean to do that on this side to that side, so don't take that personal. But that's our problem, is we want. And remember when you gave your life to Christ? He promised to give you his peace. And now we're learning how to work it through. Right? All right. Psalms 34. I told you David was... by the way, this is the psalm David wrote after he pretended he was crazy. If the king of Israel can pretend he's crazy, I can get up here and do this. Thank you for the two amens. I appreciate that. Okay. David says, come, you children, and listen to me. Now, a king can say that, right? He can say that because he's saying it as a king. And he says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Have you ever wondered what it means to fear the Lord? I mean, I've heard people say anything from, I'm afraid of him. You know, he scares me. What if he smokes me while I'm sleeping? Poof, I'm done. I'm gone. That's not the fear of the Lord. This is the fear of the Lord. He says, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? All right, everybody raise your hand. That would be me. I would desire life and length of days. Not everybody's raising their hand. Did you know that? You don't want that? Who doesn't want to live long and have a good life? Everybody should. You know, when you gave your life to Christ, can I say this? You began an eternal life. This tabernacle you're dwelling in goes away, but you don't. You're a new creation. All right. So for those of you that want and desire life and a long life, let's go on. This is how you do it. Keep your tongue from evil. Whoa! Remember what James says? That tongue, that unruly member? Right? Well, King David is saying, hey, look, just keep it from evil. How do you do that? Well, when you're under pressure, the first thing you should do is turn off the valve. Right? Just shut it off because you're about to do something that you can't bring back. Oh, boy. I do that, did that more as a young person than I do now, thank God. But it's the truth for all of us. Our words have power. I think the Bible says life and death. And it says, keep your lips from speaking deceit. Right? Now, it doesn't mean just being a deceiving person. This is really what it means. A lot of times in our conversations, we're already positioning ourselves to get what we want. I mean, that's the course that we've already set ourselves on, right? And then he says, depart from evil and do good. I like the other translations on that word depart. Depart sounds like you're actually in evil and you need to leave it. But the actual translation says just turn from it. So you're facing it and you get a choice and you get to turn from it. It's not like you're in it and you have to get out of it. Then he says, seek peace and pursue it. The peace that Jesus is giving us is sourced in reconciliation. First with God and then with each other. The peace that we're missing in the world is peace with God and peace with one another. If in your life you struggled with someone and have not been able to reconcile, it is a Jesus moment. Have you ever had an addiction that you tried to break and you just kept going back to it and going back to it and going back to it? I got to tell you, you're just not ready yet. Now, it might sound strange to some of you, but having some history of addiction, I'll just tell you this. When you want something bad enough, you'll do whatever it takes to get it. Sometimes we have to change our wants. But it's up to us to surrender to Christ and be reconciled. And then go out with our ministry of reconciliation and say, look, I may have caused unrest in our relationship, but now I want to be a peacemaker. I don't just want my way. I want you to have your way in Jesus. I want to bring peace into my home, into my job, into my life. I want to bring peace into my children. I want to be a peacemaker in my neighborhood. I want to be a peacemaker in my school. I don't want to be a peacekeeper. I don't want to bargain and bargain and bargain where people are dissatisfied and uncomfortable and having to surrender and do all. I want to be a peacemaker, where I bring the Spirit of the living God in reconciliation to man. That's it. That's the peace that Jesus brought. That's the peace that he's given us. I want to close with this. And if the worship team would like to come forward, I'm 3 minutes over on the clock, but I want to do this. In your life, take a moment ask yourself, what's the big struggle in your life today? It could be, if Cookie were here, she would say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It could be your relationship with your spouse. It could be your relationship with your child or with the youth, with their parents. But what's causing the friction? It's a lack of reconciliation with God. If I were a youth and I would say, gosh, my parents keep doing this over and over again, and it really irritates me, I would say, you're not going to fix it by going to your parents. You're going to fix it by going to Jesus and saying, Lord, you see this. You see it irritates me. Why does it irritate me? Between you and I, is it me or is it them? That's a great place to start. Spouses. My wife says to me, I wish you would do whatever, X, Y, Z, and do it more often and do it better. And I say, yeah, but I don't, that's not my heart's desire. Huh? Who needs to be reconciled to God here? It'd be me, right? But you have to take the step to do it. And you have to be honest and say to yourself, hey, there's things in my life I haven't reconciled to God yet. This is how I know. After 5 years, he points out to me, I haven't not one time prayed for my father's salvation. And he points that out to me so that I can say, I haven't reconciled that issue with him. And once I did, he did the second step. I'll close with this. He said, now that you've forgiven him, go tell him you love him. We went after midnight on that one. And I actually will tell you what I did. I told the Lord, I don't know how to do that. I'll just confess, I don't know how to do that. But I will find a way if you will help me. I will find a way to present the opportunity somehow to be able to say, I love you. Is that good enough? And you know what? The Lord let me off the hook. He said, get to work. Get to work. All right. Father, we love you. God, we ask that you would look into our relationship, not only with you, but with each other. Father, for those that do not know Jesus yet, God, it is reconciliation. You're after us, oh God. You're after us. You want to reconcile man to yourself, man to God. Work through us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Work through our families. Work through our relationships, God. Change us to be more like you every day. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.